From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns welcoming you to Let the Bible Speak as we continue our study of the law of God. For a number of weeks, due to a prolonged period of overseas preaching engagements, I'll not be commenting on the topics of interest that I have been covering day by day. That will give us longer each day for the Bible study, and given the vastness of the subjects we're covering, that's probably a very good thing. So stay tuned for today's study as we consider the subject of the spirituality of God's law. We appreciate the constant flow of interest and response that we receive from our listeners. We're glad to be able to make some valuable resources available to you, and these are all free of charge. We have mentioned at times various special messages on cassette or CD. We have set before you our Let the Bible Speak full-color quarterly magazine, which always makes interesting reading. And recently I have been mentioning our monthly Let the Bible Speak audio magazine, a CD or cassette with testimonies, Bible studies, and music to bless the heart. Now, you may obtain any of these or all of these by writing or calling us here at Let the Bible Speak. If you're writing, our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. And our toll-free telephone number is 866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. Our website is letthebiblespeakradio.com, or in the abbreviated form, ltbsradio.com, and there you'll find many items of interest, including our broadcasts, commentaries on topics of interest, both in audio and text versions, and of course our internet bookstore. So I hope that you'll make sure to visit us soon at ltbsradio.com. So whether you write, or call toll-free, or get on the internet at ltbsradio.com, we trust that you'll be in touch today.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Thee more.
The law of God searches to the depths of our soul, and it destroys every vestige of self-satisfaction or self-righteousness. That is what theologians call the spirituality of the law of God. First, the law of God is spiritual in its search of the soul. It regulates our behavior. That is the clear object of God's law. God says, thou shalt, and thou shalt not. That is the true regulator of our actions. But the law regulates a lot more than your actions. The law regulates our thoughts, our desires, and our motives. The hidden springs of the mind and of the heart. This is very clear from the words we read in Matthew chapter 5. The Lord Jesus in this passage was not adding to the law of Moses. He was not even making the law of Moses stricter or more severe. There are many people who make that assumption, and it's a very false assumption. The Lord Jesus was rather showing what the true meaning of the law of Moses was and always had been and always will be. You see, the Pharisees had, to use a big word, they had externalized God's law and human obedience to it. They had the law of God, and they had it so neatly set out that by doing this and doing that and doing the other thing, they could pride themselves, we have obeyed the law. They could say, look at our actions. Our actions are so lawful. Our actions are so much in keeping with what Moses commanded. They prided themselves, but the Lord Jesus repudiated that external obedience with a heart that was still unclean. He was saying, I will not be deceived by mere appearances. Remember what the Lord said to Samuel? Man looketh on the outward appearance. Where does God look? The Lord looketh on the heart. That's what the Savior is saying in Matthew 5. He's saying you may be able to establish a certain reputation as a law-keeping, law-abiding creature by a surface obedience, by an external observance of the law. But God looks further than the action, and God looks into the heart, into the secret springs of the mind. He sees every thought. He knows every feeling. He knows every motive. He knows every movement of the inner man. The law of God is not satisfied with an external or superficial obedience. How this devastates glib self-righteousness. Men are very like the Jews of Ezekiel's day. You will remember the day in which Ezekiel lived. The Jewish nation had already come under judgment because of apostasy and sin. Yet they couldn't believe that they were under judgment. Used to be, you know, when I read books like Ezekiel as a young Christian, it would boggle my mind that a nation could be so evidently under the judgment of God, and yet they couldn't see it. They were saying, no, this is just a temporary glitch in our affairs. We're soon going to get back into the fullness of blessing. There's really nothing radically wrong. I've lived a little longer now. Along with you, I live in a country. And I come from a country that is under the judgment of God. country from which I come was the godliest, the holiest, the most crime-free, the most gospel-filled country in Western Europe, and tonight it lies devastated under the curse of the broken law of God and the wrath of an offended deity. And America tonight is in the very same place, cursed by the law and by the wrath of God. And yet this country, and my country, just as the Jews in Ezekiel's day, cannot see the judgment of God. They don't want to hear about the judgment of God. Rather, they parade, like the Jews, their own claimed righteousness. The Jews in Ezekiel's day, who lived back in Jerusalem before the final removal of the nation by Nebuchadnezzar, they had no concept or conscience of sin. They just paraded their holiness. When Jeremiah would preach, they cursed him, they imprisoned him, they threatened death upon him. When Ezekiel wrote back to them, they couldn't understand why he would do this. They pointed to their legal obedience. Look at the temple. Look at our worship. Look at this. Look at that. But then in Ezekiel 8, verse 12, I'll select one verse, though the whole chapter is a devastating rebuke from the Lord upon these people. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery, for they say, the Lord seeth us not. God says, let's put aside the surface obedience. Let's draw aside the veil of self-righteousness. Let's look into the depths of the hidden places of their lives and see what they really are. My friend, tonight, that is how God's law searches the depths of the soul. Paul wrote to the Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, the word of God is quick or living and sharp, powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner. It is a critic. It is a judge. That's the word. Of what? Of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are opened and naked to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You remember how the Lord Jesus put it to the scribes and Pharisees in Luke 16, verse 15? This indeed is his introduction to the story of the rich man who died and went to hell, and Lazarus, who died at his gate, and went to heaven. This is the introduction to Christ's teaching about heaven and hell. Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. Men and women, the law of God regulates behavior. But it goes deeper than actions. It judges your thoughts. It judges your feelings. It exposes every deep motive of your soul. And even then it's not finished, because it goes beyond what we do and think and feel. And it searches out what we are. Have you ever noted that the Ten Commandments are mostly prohibitions? When God gives commandments to men, he normally says, thou shalt not. Why? Why? There's a very simple reason for it. It's because God's law recognizes the natural bias of our soul towards sin. In other words, what is wrong with the sinner goes deeper than his thoughts and his words and his deeds. He does wrong because he is wrong. His words, his thoughts, his deeds are evil and wicked and depraved because by his very nature he is evil and wicked and depraved. The law of God, therefore, touches you on the level of your behavior. It goes deeper into your being and it touches you on the level of your thoughts and your feelings and your will and your motive. But then it goes deeper than that to the very being and nature of your soul. And it lays open to you and certainly to heaven the depravity and the spiritual deadness and the wickedness of that soul. What is that saying? It's saying that the law of God holds you responsible not only for what you do, what you think, and what you feel. It does all that. Let me not just rush over that. Don't let those words just bounce off your head. Think of them. Think of them. God's law holds you responsible for every single thing you do and think and feel. And then it goes to the depths of your being and it holds you responsible for what you are. Proverbs 16 verse 2 puts it this way. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. See again the level in which man wants to operate? There's the surface obedience. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. The Lord goes to the very nature of your soul. Its moral condition or state before him. The law is spiritual in its search of the soul. But second, the law is spiritual in the scope of its statutes. Let me explain what I mean. The law has a very obvious meaning. When the law of God says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And thou shalt not covet." When the law of God says those things, there is a very obvious meaning. It is not difficult to understand. There's not a person here tonight who has the slightest difficulty understanding any one of those commandments. There's no ambiguity about the words. There is no super difficulty about the expressions. So there is no excuse for their breach. There's no excuse. You can't plead ignorance. You know clearly what the law of God is saying. It has a very obvious meaning. But as we've seen, that doesn't stop people trying to evade the strictness of the law. We're all Pharisees after a sort. And people are very good. And I'm talking to you tonight and I'm talking to me. Let me address this to you very personally. You can stultify your conscience in many ways. You can persuade yourself the law doesn't really mean what it says it means. And you're a big enough fool to believe your own lie. Some of you are in that position tonight. That's how you stultify your conscience. The usual way of stultifying conscience is with what I would call a meager obedience. Just doing enough to be able to comfort yourself that you're staying on the right side of the law of God. But I have this to say to you. The law of God not only has a very obvious meaning, but it includes a lot more than that obvious meaning. For example, every prohibition of the law implies a contrary precept. When the first commandment says, "Thou shalt not have any other gods before me," that's a prohibition against having other gods. But the positive precept is that you must worship God and love God above all else, in heaven, earth, or hell. That's the precept. When the second commandment says, "You'll not make any graven image or any idol creature," the positive precept is, "Thou shalt worship God scripturally in spirit and in truth." Take the sixth commandment. When the law of God says, "Thou shalt not kill," "Thou shalt do no murder," the positive precept is that you shall protect life and regard it as the gift of God. When the seventh commandment says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," as the Savior makes it very clear in our Bible reading, the positive precept is, "Thou shalt live in purity with a lawful spouse." When the eighth commandment says, "Thou shalt not steal," it does say that you shall have regard for the rights of ownership legally held property. And it also says that you will exercise a just and godly stewardship of property. When the ninth commandment says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness," it is saying in the words of the New Testament that you shall speak every man truth with his neighbor. When the tenth commandment says, "Thou shalt not covet," the precept is you shall be content with such things as you have. So, behind the obvious, there is something else behind every prohibition. There's a precept. Then every commandment is actually a representative of an entire class of duties. We read tonight in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 22. Take verse 21, "Thou shalt not kill." Well, we all know what that means. There's an obvious meaning. You're not to kill. You're not to be a murderer. But then the Lord Jesus says, what's the real meaning of this? If you're angry with your brother without a cause, if you say to your brother, "Raka," or "Thou fool," that is the idea of a wicked, reprobate person destitute of all spiritual life or divine knowledge. In other words, if you let your passions get ahead of you and you're willing to curse him whom God has blessed, you stand before God like a murderer. John puts it this way in 1 John 3:15, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer." I wonder now, in the light of that, how many of us could say, "I could stand before the judgment bar of God tonight and plead innocent, totally innocent, to the charge of murder." Where is the man who has never been unjustly angry He has never lived outside of the God-man, Jesus Christ. Where is the man who has never hated his brother? And yet the Lord Jesus says, when the law says thou shalt not kill, that is merely a representative command of a whole class of commands. The law is spiritual.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.